A little bit later, and I don't know how we're going to work this. It's not going to be able to be worked onto the live stream, I don't think, yet. We've got the capabilities probably, but we don't know how to do it yet. But we're going to show a video. And I'm not sure what the ramifications of that would be. I think we would be all right with that particular video because it belongs to someone here in town, technically. So I don't think they would be like, don't show that. In fact, I think they would love it if we would show it. There is a thing called LifeWise that we've been talking about a little bit. And I told you last week we would be showing a video from that this week. And I'm excited about LifeWise because LifeWise is this amazing thing where young people get to sign up. And the video will tell you more in a little bit. So we'll show that when I'm done speaking today. And this is going to be a little bit of a weird day because I'm going to do something that I want to connect to LifeWise. The other day, let's just say it that way. The other day, I was talking to someone, and we were talking about different stuff and just life and the things you go through. And I began to talk about Joseph. Joseph, son of Jacob, 11th son of Jacob. And I began to relate some things in the life of Joseph to this person who didn't know anything about the story of Joseph. So I just said Joseph in front of a congregation of Christian people. How many of you feel like you know something about Joseph? When I said it, it didn't seem totally strange to you. Okay, yeah, that's pretty much everybody. And a few people whose arms are too tired. So, you know, that's just what it is. What is the first thing you think about when you think of Joseph? Anybody? The coat. That's probably the one that's the most familiar to everybody. Are you aware that there is a play, a musical kind of a thing called Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat? Yeah. And so the idea of this character, Joseph, in the Bible is not completely unknown to secular society, is it? But I was talking to somebody who had never heard of Joseph. Never heard the story of Joseph, as far as they could remember. And not, you know, not a 20-something down, but it was a little older than that. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Because one of the things that LifeWise is doing is they're introducing kids, elementary age kids, to the stories of the Bible. And some of the kids are not being introduced because they already go to Sunday school, so they've heard of Joseph. But some of the kids have never heard of Joseph. And the ones who already have heard of Joseph are getting things like Joseph or Moses or any of those characters. They're getting that reinforced in their life, whereas some kids have never heard of Joseph at all. And here I am talking to a person who had never heard the story of Joseph. So I began to go through it from memory. And that made me think. I had this strange thought last night. I wonder what we remember of the story of Joseph. So today, you are not turning in your Bibles to anything. What? It's not a legal service until we crack our Bible, Pastor. You're breaking the law. No, I'm going to let you help me tell the story. So who remembers how the story of Joseph starts out in the Bible? Does anybody remember kind of what happens first? And I'm just going to go through. I've actually got it open, and I'm going to make sure I hit the highlights so I don't miss anything. Because it's not easy to remember every detail. It is a little bit easier for me because I actually wrote a thesis on Joseph in CTC. So when I was going to Bible college, I wrote about Joseph. And I may get to what that thesis was about. You may actually be looking at me. I have no notes today. Just flying by the seat of my pants. Not that notes ever matter anyway. Because I don't follow them. I have bunny trails and things that I think of. But does anybody remember? It says that he was 17 years old. right in the second verse of the passage that begins in Genesis something or other. Right. So his brothers were jealous of him, and they couldn't bring themselves to do it, so they threw him in the pit, and that is a big part that we remember pretty well. Do you remember why they were jealous of him? And the coat. He had a dream. Actually, he had two dreams. Yeah, so there you go. See, we're remembering it. But even before that, there was a little something that sometimes gets a little obscured, you know, because they were having a hard time with him even before he had the dream and he had the coat and he was the special kid and he was dad's favorite. They were having a hard time with him because in the first part of the story, it says Joseph went out, saw his brothers doing something and brought back a bad report. He was a tattletale, the little rat. That's what he was. He was just a little tattletale. He must have known he was dad's favorite, which, and then he was like, I'm just going to tell on you boys. You did, didn't you? Yeah. And then we get to the part where Joseph loved his son Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was the son of his old age, the scripture says. Although there was a younger brother yet. And so he gave him the tunic, and his brothers hated him all the more because, you know, he's a rat, and now dad gives him the tunic, and now they're not liking this guy. And then he has the dreams. He has two of them. One is this where his brothers are bowing down, and another one is where his father and mother, the sun and the moon and the seven and the 12 stars or the 11 stars are bowing down. And so, you know, he's just earning points right away with everybody just going along, making everybody in the family feel good. I'm better than you. And, you know, here's the thing. Do you realize that Joseph was a spiritual man? He was a spiritual man. He got these dreams, and these dreams are evidence that he was connected on a spiritual level with God. Yet, I'm just wanting to say it this way. Not all people who are spiritual are all that in a bag of chips. In other words, some people have spiritual stuff going on, but they got other stuff going on too. And Joseph, being a young guy, that's part of his problem. Some of the young people need to hear what I'm saying. Be careful not to get too full of yourself if God starts to use you and think that you're smarter than all the other old people who have been around. You might find that gets you in some trouble. Now, on the other hand, though, I want to see young men full of the Spirit of God, young women full of the Spirit of God, doing things that I never have even done. That nothing would make me happier than to see more young people raised up to bring about another Jesus movement that was 100 times as effective as the Jesus movement that I got saved in 50 plus years ago. Make me really happy. So, as the story goes, you already mentioned it. They see him coming from a ways off, and they're not happy with him already. And let's just take this dreamer and kill him, then see what happens to his dreams. Okay, we remember that so far. What happened, and how come they didn't kill him? Anybody remember? The oldest brother. Yeah. So they sold him to some Ishmaelites. So the older brother, being a really good guy and invested in commerce and all sorts of things like that, figured it was better to let him live and not kill him. And so they didn't, which was a good thing. And they sold him into slavery, which was not a good thing. And I wonder what Joseph was thinking. We're never told. But I wonder if he had this thought in his head, I'd rather be dead. He might have. There was no guarantee the Ishmaelites would treat him with any kindness or anything. What did they do? By the way, does anybody remember the story of how they explained it to Dad? Yeah. Yeah, and they soaked it in blood. They tore up his tunic, soaked it in blood of a sheep that they slayed, and then took it to Dad and said, "Oh, you lost your son." Smiling all the time. You know, they were glad to be rid of him. They hated him. Bad, bad, bad stuff. And I'm not sure all the brothers felt all the same. I mean, Reuben wanted to save his life. And, you know, you read later in the story about Judah and his response to some things. Maybe we'll mention that. I don't know that I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty of everything that took place here. But yeah, it's amazing. The story is pretty amazing. And it was Reuben who said, you know, he's our own flesh. Let's not kill him. So then you go over, that begins in an earlier chapter, and you have to jump a couple chapters because there's some other stuff that goes on in there. And then another chapter later, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. What happened when he got to Egypt? Anybody remember? He what? He was in prison, but at first, Potiphar. Yeah, I should get the missus up here. We used to play Bible trivia, and she just beat the crud out of me. She would beat the crud out of me because, you know, she grew up in a pastor's home, and she had to study the Bible 10 hours a day. That was just Yeah, he got sell. You probably remember that now. You know, as soon as you, it's hard to do. That's why I highlighted a bunch of stuff so I would get the pieces. He goes down, and he ends up in the house of a guy named Potiphar. And Potiphar likes him a lot. And it came about, let me just read a verse to you. It came about that from the time he, Potiphar, made him, Joseph, overseer of his house, or from that time he made him overseer of his house and all that he owned. And then listen to what it goes on and says. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Wow. That's pretty cool stuff. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Wow. Joseph was, he may have been a little bit of a jerk with his brothers, but he apparently... And he's, think about this, he's not, can't be too much older than he was when we first started the story. Maybe a couple of years have gone by, we just don't know. He wasn't very old, but he was learning some things, wasn't he? He was learning, and the boy was learning. He was learning the hard way. How many of you have learned the hard way? Yeah, me too. That's usually the best lessons, the one I remember the most, you know, is the one where I hit the wall, right? Here's the bump that I still have for it, you know, that kind of thing. You still remember those things. And so here was the problem. Joseph was doing great in Potiphar's house. Then what happened? Oh, the wife. Because it says right here, and Joseph was hot. No, I'm sorry, it says it was handsome in form and appearance. That was another version. I don't know where that came from. It's probably a perversion. Anyway, what's that? The message? Maybe. And then, you know, the wife looks at him with desire, the Bible says, and she's like, "Come on, man." And he's like, "No, no, 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 no." And he decides he's not going to do the wrong thing. But that didn't help. Because the wife told a story, managed to wrench his coat away from him, and then said, "The guy who owns this coat," not the many-colored coat, but just a different one. So, you know, he gets thrown in jail. Could have gotten killed, though. So it's pretty amazing he gets thrown in jail. But you got to be thinking about Joseph now at this point. He's 17, and he's, you know, maybe 18 by the time he has the dreams. We don't know how long that took. Maybe he's still 17 when he gets thrown in jail. I have no idea. I imagine he's, you know, some years are passing on this. We don't have an exact timeline from the scripture. You have this dream, And the dream is rightly interpreted that you are going to be large and in charge. You are going to be all that and a bag of chips. And everybody's going to know it, including mom and dad. Everybody's going to be, you are going to be the big cheese. And he's got this dream, and it's a dream from God. So he knows that that's God's destiny for his life. But somehow, it ain't happening. And he gets down to Egypt, and maybe he's starting to think, wow, you know, everything I touch goes really well. And look at me, I'm kind of, here's a big wig in the government of Pharaoh, and I'm in charge of everything. He doesn't worry about nothing except for, you know, what's on the menu today and ordering what he wants. I'm doing pretty good. And all of a sudden, he's in prison. I don't know about you, but that would be a bit of a downer for me. Just a little bit. I'd just be thinking, well, this is, I keep going from bad to worse. What is up with that? But what happens when he gets in jail? Anybody remember? He's favored by the jailer. The jailer's like, man, everything this guy does is just blessed. And so the jailer starts giving him more and more responsibility and making him important in the framework of the jail. Wow. He's still, though, what do they call him today in jails? Trustees? He's still a trustee and he's still in jail, but he's at least the big guy in jail. I'm not sure that really makes you very happy if you're in jail. Wow. So then, the next thing that happens is he gets some roommates. Anybody remember who the roommates were? A butler? Yeah, a cook. Yeah, baker. The butler is kind of the wine guy. Yeah, he's the cupbearer. So depending on how you, which version you read, you've got this cupbearer who brings wine to the king, and you've got a baker who makes food for the king, and they show up. And they have dreams. And Joseph interprets their dreams. Now, does anybody remember who got the good interpretation and who got the bad interpretation? The cupbearer got the good interpretation. You'll be back with the king shortly. And the baker got not so good news. Does anybody remember? Yeah, you're dead. They're going to kill you. And that's exactly what happened. And Joseph says to the cupbearer, the butler, remember me when you get up there with the king. I find that fascinating because somehow through all of this, Joseph still has some level of hope. He's not a hopeless guy. Somehow he's staying positive about things and he's still looking for opportunity. What an amazing guy. I think that's fantastic that he was able to say, remember me when you get up there. But the cupbearer did not for 2 years. According to the scripture. So by now, Joseph's getting a little older. I'm thinking by now he's mid-20s probably. He's down there, but he's doing his thing. He's being faithful in what he's doing and just doing his best. And then Pharaoh had a dream. Remember what the dream was? Anybody? Yeah, the seven skinny cows actually ate up the seven fat cows. So Joseph hears the dream and he realizes we're going to have 7 years of great productivity in the land, which will be followed by 7 years of famine. That's pretty cool. And actually, Pharaoh had kind of two dreams. There were seven ears. And then seven more ears, you know, again. And Joseph says, well, the dreams are one and the same. And then he interprets the dreams. Most of us remember that the interpretation was, I just told you, 7 years of good with 7 years of famine. And so what does Pharaoh do immediately on seeing the wisdom of Joseph? There you go. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the divine spirit?" He goes on to say to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And then he goes over on to say, "Moreover, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in the land of Egypt." What? What? No one will raise his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. I mean, okay, I was going to be in charge of this little group of people that my father gave, you know, life to. There were 11 brothers. And, you know, we were going to, and we've got Abraham's promise, and I'm going to be a big shot, and these people are going to think I'm important. But all of a sudden, he is the most important person in the land of Egypt, and in some ways more important than Pharaoh himself. The thesis that I wrote about was the idea that you can be second in command and still be the most powerful person. Because there's a tendency sometimes, especially among people who do what I do, to think unless you're the big cheese, unless you're in charge, unless you're the senior pastor, the apostle, ha, whatever, that you're not a big deal. And sometimes the biggest deal is the person who helps the pastor make things happen. I'm going to say this out loud, and I wouldn't be afraid for Bill Johnson and Chris Volleton to hear it, because I think they would agree. I know Bill would. Chris would feel a little embarrassed. But Redding, California, and that movement that they've created and started, Bill had to be there to make it happen. But Chris was the one pushing all the buttons and making things grow. Chris was the one that organized and made some things happen and said, let's do this. Chris was a businessman with multiple car parts stores. And he had all these things that he figured out to do, and he began to make things happen. And bang, 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 all of a sudden, they're starting a school of ministry. They're doing this, they're doing that. Bill had the vision for the school of ministry, but Chris is the one that made it happen. The school of ministry gave fuel to the fire of what they were doing. There's always somebody behind a person of vision. And I really believe that there are a lot of great men of vision, but what they really need is a man of function who helps their vision happen. And I could talk for that on that subject for a long time because that was my thesis. We do finally find out how old Joseph has gotten to at one point in the story. It says, now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So now we have an idea of the years that passed. He was 17, 18 or 19 maybe by the time the boys turned him over. He had been down there a decade. The 7 years of plenty came by, and then the 7 years of famine began to hit. Some of you remember the story. Joseph was smart enough to put aside a bunch of grain in preparation for the famine. And then when the famine hit, people started coming to Egypt because there was grain in Egypt. Joseph's wisdom panned out. He interpreted the dream. He was fantastically received by who knows how many Egyptians there were at the time compared to the small number of people that he originally had a vision about. Now Joseph was the ruler over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Remember that part of the story? Oops. His fulfillment in his mind at 17 or 18, whenever he had those dreams, was probably different than what he was actually seeing. But he was actually seeing the dreams fulfilled. Isn't that interesting? That's why I love this story. None of his brothers recognized him. It says he disguised himself. And he had this little thing where he spoke harshly to them and messed with their heads a little bit and ended up keeping one of the brothers. Wouldn't let him go back because he wanted them to bring the younger brother down, the brother who was born of the same mother. So Simeon is held hostage. They go back. Jacob's all out of sorts because now he's got two sons that he doesn't have anymore, and he's not very happy about it. At some point, he says, you got to go back down there and get some more. And they're like, we can't go back down there. He said, don't come down unless you bring Benjamin. And he goes, well, I'll take him. If I lose him, I'll just be the saddest old man ever. By the way, don't do that to your kids. A guilt trip on your kids. So we know the story now, right? He comes back. Some things happen. We won't go into all the details of it. Some of you are already thinking, though, about the money in the sacks and things like that that I didn't mention. There's so many. This is such a rich story with so many things in it. And then finally, Joseph reveals himself to them. And you got to wonder if they weren't thinking, where are the depends? I need something right now. Scared that Joseph would do something to them. But he just loves them. He just loves them. And eventually brings the whole family down to Egypt. And it's an incredible story of how God used him. And I love this part of the passage. Hang on a second. Here we go. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Somehow he saw way past the stupid and saw the good in what God had done. It's one of my favorite things about Joseph because he always found a way to take everything and turn it to good. I wonder if we're any good with that. You know, we can just get grumpy about the stupidest stuff. I was on my way here today, and I'm coming up the hill. I actually drove up the hill beside where, what's the gas station on the little bit of a hill there after you cross the river? Circle K. I drove up and drove past Circle K so I could come out on 15 so I could come down 24 because they have the thing that's closed, you know, the exit's closed. And I wanted to make sure it was closed. And then I sent out a text, not that that helped everybody or anybody, but I sent out a text to remind everybody that it's closed for anybody who comes in from the east so they'd be a little bit forewarned. And I'm coming up the hill there by Circle K and, you know, I'm just cruising along in my Prius and the speed is just right, and all of a sudden somebody in front of me is going slower, and somebody in front of them is what's slowing them down. And I'm thinking, am I even going to make this light? And I don't know whether I've told you this. I think I have a few times. I like to do this thing called hypermiling, where you take your, you know, your, I got a Prius, so it drives on battery and gas. And so I was, you know, if the light hit, I was going to have to use gas. And then, as it was, I ended up stomping on it a little bit harder to get through a light that was slightly orangey, yellowy, whatever. and then I'm getting up the hill and going over the crest of the hill, and I'm like, what is this person, car in front of the car in front of me? Why are they going so slow? And then I glance over and notice that I'm doing 25, and that's actually what the actual speed limit is? Oh, my. How dare I go 25? And then, well, I didn't shout at anybody. I held it all in. I was just like, dang, I don't want to, you know, and just being a little annoyed. And then the car in front of me pulls out of the way, and I realize the person in front of me is a student driver. Yeah, and it's Sunday morning, by the way. Is there a company in town called Highway to Hell Student Drivers? shouldn't be teaching kids to drive on Sunday morning. Unless it's how to drive to church. Teach them how to drive to church on Sunday morning. So I had to laugh at myself a little bit. I'm being annoyed. But that I'm laughing at myself, and I'm having fun with myself and not taking myself seriously. This guy is amazing. He didn't take himself, he could have been like, Reuben, lucky you, I'm going to let you live. Junior, you were the one that had the idea in the first place to kill me. You're dead. No, not at all. He saw that God was in the middle of it. It was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over the whole land of Egypt. Wow. That is just way beyond anything that Joseph could have imagined at 17 or 18 years old. Way beyond anything he could have ever expected. It's crazy. Because I want to tell you this, God's plan for you and his destiny for you is better than you know. Even at 65 years old, I know that God still has plans for me, and it's better than I know. And I'm not going to be stupid. I'm going to keep trying to do my best to listen to God, because it's better than I know. The destiny he has for you is better than you know. He's still got good things for you. You're not on the downhill slide because you've reached retirement age, some of you. Or you're not about to reach retirement age so you can just be on the downhill slide and relax. God's got a destiny for every one of us that's still something wonderful. I don't know that the destiny might seem small in our eyes, but it might be big in God's eyes. It may be, by the way, for some of you older ones, it may be your grandkids. Your destiny may be what you invest into your grandkids to give them something for the future because God wants to do something amazing in them. It may be something that you haven't even thought of yet. Colonel Sanders was retirement age when he started the chicken place. Who knows what God might have for any one of us in this room? On the other hand, Joseph is in charge of everything at age 30. So some of you young people, let God give you dreams and watch what he will develop. His dreams for you are way better than your dreams for you. It's always true. Now, I wanted to share this morning because, as I said before, this is what might be happening with something right here in our own community. More young people are being invested into by something. And so when I think of us and I think of all that we have, I think, what can we do? What is there still to do for us? And so before I get into that, I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray that God will open your eyes to a greater destiny for you, maybe than you've realized, that you will not sell yourself short somehow in what God still has for you to do, but that you will realize it won't take very long. Most of us have a decade. And it was about a decade in a tough place before Joseph reached the apex, the thing that God had really created him for. And technically, he was never anything but number two. But number one would never have had his vision, his dream accomplished without that number two. And I wonder what that looks like in heaven. Because nobody knows the name of that Pharaoh. At least I don't think they do. I've tried to research it and never found a name that anybody could say was for sure the Pharaoh of that day. If they've discovered that since then, yay. But 35 years ago, no, I didn't find the name of that Pharaoh. But everybody knows Joseph's name. At least everybody who has been experienced and had the opportunity to go and hear stories in church. Now, people are going to hear stories elsewhere. More on that in a minute, but I want to stick with this destiny thing. God's got something great for every one of you. God's got something great for every one of you. Look at the person next to you and say, the best is yet to come.